Welcome everyone to our morning worship service, this last morning worship service in February. I say hello to those that I can't see, if you're in through in the church building or listening later on at home. And before we come to worship, I have some announcements for the week ahead. Monday evening, the 1st of March, at 7:30 until 8:30, there's a prayer time for the congregations of the Northern Presbytery, and this is on Zoom, 7:30 tomorrow evening. And then on Wednesday evening is our own midweek prayer time. Last week we were meeting in the hall. This week we'll be online, and that'll be at 8 o'clock Wednesday evening via Zoom. 40 minutes midweek prayer time. Then next Lord's Day, God willing, the 7th of March, the morning service will be as today here in the church hall at 12 noon, and the evening service will be pre-recorded on Friday, the 5th of March. Same arrangement again is due for the 14th of March. A few other announcements then. I had some communication from the Synod Public Morals Committee, encouraging us to continue to contact the Northern Trust in regard to the abortion situation, and also to contact MLAs in regard to that, to try to get some meaningful action at Stormont against the abortion laws that have been introduced in this country, and on Wednesdays in Coleraine, there is a clinic at which pills are distributed to provide early abortion, so it is happening in the Northern Trust. The missionary prayer letter is not yet ready. The new one, the printers, there's a delay with the printers, so that's not yet available. Maybe here next Lord's Day. I've done a photocopy of the first page, so the first week, and I've put that onto the WhatsApp, church WhatsApp group, and there's some copies on the table here on the porch. A reminder then, Saturday the 13th of March is the day when the Theological Foundations for Youth Study Day is taking place. Dr. David Mackay is speaking on biblical baptism, and that's an online event, and it's open to anyone, and it's Saturday the 13th of March. And then just to mention a couple of meetings of the Northern Presbytery that are coming up. Monday the 8th of March is the annual State of Religion meeting, where we consider the session reports from all the 10 congregations in the presbytery. It's going to be an online meeting, the 8th of March, Monday the 8th. And then Thursday the 11th is the meeting for the presentation of the Enniskillen call to Reverend David Sutherland. That is also due to be an online meeting on Thursday the 11th of March. Those are the announcements that I have for today. We commence our worship now as we join in prayer, so if you're able, please stand as we pray. We praise you, Lord God in heaven, for the life we have. We praise you that today we can look to you in our worship, wherever we may be at this precise moment. We give thanks, Lord, for this Lord's Day that you brought us to. We thank you for how the sun has taken away the mist that was surrounding everything earlier in the day. And we praise you, Lord, for your light and for your warmth breaking through. And we rejoice, O Lord, that you're the God who is able to do these things, not just in terms of the weather, but also in terms of spiritual realities. And we praise you that you're the God who can take away everything from us that stops us from seeing spiritual truth. And your light can come in and change everything. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be doing that wonderful work of yours. We pray that in these dark times that your light would shine clearly. We pray that many will look to you and find hope and find salvation in you. Help us today. Help us in this time of worship. We pray, Lord, that as we read your word and think about what it's saying to us, that you would guide us into an understanding of your truth. Help us to see the things that you tell us about ourselves. Help us to see the things you tell us about salvation. And Lord, give us the faith to believe what is written in the Scriptures. Forgive us our sins now, O Lord, and we look to you for the working of your Spirit among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read from God's Word, turning to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians, which we've been looking at in recent weeks. And today I want to read in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and reading the whole of the chapter. Last week we considered the first 5 verses, and today I want to speak on the remaining verses. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in our church pew Bible, the page number is 1013. Let us hear this, the word of God. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature or perfect or complete, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing or combining spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we end our reading at the close of this chapter. Now I'm going to say a few words to the children now, to the children that I can't see. So I ask the rest of you to look as young as you can manage as I speak to children. When I was maybe about 8 years old, one of the things I looked forward to in coming home from primary school was watching a bit of TV. And one of the programs that I liked to watch was called Scooby-Doo. And 20 years later, when I had got married and I was off on my honeymoon and I was away, far away in Orlando, Florida, every day Scooby-Doo was on the TV. And before we went out to visit some theme park or whatever, there was usually a bit of Scooby-Doo that was watched. And now, about 30 years later, I believe Scooby-Doo is still in existence and is still something that is on TV sometimes. So it's lasted a long time. And I don't remember any of the episodes of Scooby-Doo particularly, but as far as I recall, it was usually the same kind of thing week after week after week. There would be something very bad happening, something very scary happening in some place, and Scooby-Doo the dog and his human friends, they would investigate this, and usually in the course of their investigation, they would encounter some really scary beast or ghost-like figure, and they would be running away from this figure, and they would be chased, and eventually they would find out something that explained what was really going on. And there would be a villain behind all the nasty goings on, and they would uncover this villain, and this would be the explanation for all that had been taking place. And always in the stories, there was something hidden. There was something concealed. But when that thing was found out, then everything else made sense, and it made all the difference. And in the Bible, we have something quite like that. Because for a long time in the Bible, there wasn't any clear understanding of how God could really forgive sinners and save sinners. And for a long time, it was hidden that God was actually going to send his Son into this world, and that Jesus was going to be the great sacrifice to deal with sin. And that was something that was hidden for a long time. People didn't have a clear idea of that at all. But then the time came. Jesus came into the world, and he did go to the cross, and he was crucified, and he died as a substitute for sinners. And that made sense of so many other things that had happened in Old Testament times. And in the Lord Jesus, the mystery of how God could forgive sinners, it was solved. And here it was. This is the way of forgiveness. This is the way of salvation. It's all through the Son of God being crucified and rising again. So the thing that had been hidden for so long, it was revealed. And many people ever since then have been able to live in the understanding of what has been revealed and what has been understood. And the Bible and the New Testament makes plain that Jesus, the Son of God, he is the Savior. And anyone who's going to be saved will be saved by the Lord Jesus. So the thing that was hidden has been revealed, and Jesus is the one who has been revealed. Here is the Savior that we all need. Now I'm going to speak to God now in prayer. Last Lord's Day, we were praying for a couple of people in particular. We prayed for Jennifer Kennedy's great niece Poppy, who was due to have surgery on Tuesday, and that surgery went ahead. And the surgeons are happy with the job that they've been able to do in removing a tumor on the back of her head. And so we pray for wisdom for them in treatment that will follow on from that and remember that family. And then we were praying for Leonard Christie, who was in hospital with COVID-19. And Yesterday afternoon, Leonard got home from hospital, so give thanks to God that he went into hospital at the right time, didn't delay it too long, and that over a week he got the treatment that he needed to get, and that he was well enough yesterday to get home from hospital. So return thanks to God for hearing and answering our prayers for Leonard, and Anne has continued to improve, and so this is a matter for much thanksgiving. Well, we come now to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today with praise for the God that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who has saving plans. And we thank you, Lord, for how those plans have been worked out in history. And we praise you, Lord, that the day of salvation has not yet ended. We pray that even this day, that you would continue to save sinners and add them to your church. We come to you, Lord, with thanksgiving today. We praise you, Lord, for the improving health situation in our land. We thank you, God, for the various ways in which that is seen. And we pray that that situation will continue, that there'll be a significant further improvement as we enter soon into the month of March, and as restrictions are still in place, we pray, O Lord, that you would continue to do that good work. We praise you for the good news about Leonard getting home from hospital. We do pray for him and ask, Lord, that as he will feel the effects of the illness he's had for a good while, that you will help him, O Lord, in his ongoing weakness. We pray nonetheless, Lord, that he will be able to rejoice at being back home again, and we give thanks for the encouragement of this answer to our prayers. Be with Leonard and Anne and help them in these days, O Lord. We give thanks also for that surgery that Poppy Ogle had, and we pray for her. Pray for her ongoing health, that you would be merciful to her, that what has been done and what's planned to be done would make a real difference in her medical condition. And we pray for wisdom for those who assess at different times what would be the best course of action. And we pray for Poppy and for her parents. We ask, Lord, for your working in their lives for good. We praise you, Lord, for the men that are in training at the minute at our college. We pray for them in the last 3 weeks of classes that they have, and we pray that you help them in all that they have still to learn before they do their final exams. And we pray that you'll keep them well, and pray that those who teach them will be kept well, that there wouldn't be any interruptions in these final 3 weeks of classes. We pray, O Lord, for our Eastern Presbytery congregations. We pray for the two congregations that have recently become vacant there. We pray, Lord, for the folk in Newton Ards. We give thanks for Robert McCollum's ministry there. We pray that you'll bless his ministry that he's begun in Lisburn. And we pray for the folk in Newton Ards as they adjust and as things are different for them now. We pray for your help for them, that they will be able to continue to serve you in their situation, and we pray that they will continue to know fellowship with each other, and Lord, we pray for your mercies to them. Pray also for the congregation of Knockbracken, and we pray for that body of your people. We pray that you will help them in this time of vacancy. We pray for the men who look after those congregations, for David McCulloch, and for Professor Robert McCollum. And we ask for Reverend Andrew Kerr as he waits for things to be sorted for him to move to the United States. Lord, help him in that. And we pray that there wouldn't be undue delay in that. We pray also for Philip Dunwoody as he is soon to begin his ministry in the Dromore congregation in the Eastern Presbytery. And we pray for Philip and Hannah and Sophia. And we pray that you will Provide them with all they need in that new place that they move to, a new work that they enter into. We pray for encouragement, O Lord, in our Eastern Presbytery congregations as they seek to serve you in their part of this land. We pray, O Lord, for your saving work in these days. We pray that you would be working, O Lord, among those who are strangers to the things of God, among those who've never really been exposed to the gospel in a meaningful way. We pray that those who are really pagans will come to hear the good news and that they would see what a wonderful thing it is. And we pray, Lord, for those who have heard, for those who are prodigals and have turned away from the precious things of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you will turn them around and that there will be a thorough discontent with the things of this world and the temporary pleasures and attractions that there are. And we pray that you will give a longing for something deeper and for something that truly lasts and for something in which there can be peace with God. So, Lord, we look to you to do your saving work. We pray these things now through Jesus Christ, the great Savior. Amen. We look to God's Word today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and considering the verses from 6 through to 16. I was speaking to the children about Scooby-Doo, and I wonder, do you enjoy a good mystery story? Perhaps you're a reader and you like that kind of book. I think when I was a teenager and there was a wet summer day, one thing I used to enjoy doing was finding an Agatha Christie book. And once I got into it, I would keep going till it was finished. They were always very gripping. Maybe you're not much of a reader, but maybe you enjoy watching those type of programs on TV. Maybe you have a favorite TV detective that you enjoy watching. Some of you have mentioned to me that you're fans of Vera, for example. I've never yet got to see Vera. But there's lots of different detectives and different kinds of those stories where there's where there's something hidden that has to be uncovered. And I wonder, have you ever got it right yourself? Have you ever solved the mystery yourself? And if you did, I'm sure you felt really chuffed and really pleased with yourself when you did that. But usually it's the case that we don't see things as they actually were. We need the expert detective to reveal to us what actually happened. And usually it's the case in those books that most people don't see what the end is going to be. We don't see what the evidence is actually pointing to because we haven't seen the evidence that we needed to see. The brilliant detective will see significance in things that others will never have noticed. And that which is hidden to many is seen by the detective. Now, in these verses today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing about something that is hidden to many but is seen by others. Now, these verses are quite difficult to piece together. It's not the easiest section to understand. Earlier in the week, I was present at the student preaching in Trinity, and two of the students, I thought, got quite difficult passages, and one of them got an easier one. And if I had been a theological college student and I was given this passage, I would have thought that was a difficult one that I've been given to preach on. Thankfully, I'm not a student at the theological college. Don't have to try to please all the professors. I'm not going to try to say something about everything that's in these verses. I want to highlight three matters that are here in this passage. First of all, I want to speak about things long hidden. Things long hidden. Paul is reminding his Corinthian readers about the message that he had preached when he came to Corinth. When he was among them, verse 2, he says that his message had been the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Some of those who had heard that message thought it was foolishness, but it wasn't. And Paul here in these verses argues that it is actually wisdom. The gospel is not foolishness. The gospel is wisdom. But not everybody sees that wisdom. And in verse 7, therefore, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." The message of Jesus Christ and him crucified was a message that had lain hidden for a long time. It had only recently come out into the open and was being preached by the apostles. It seemed to many to be a new idea, to be a novel teaching, but it wasn't. It had always been the idea of God. It was always the plan of God to save sinners through Christ crucified. But it had been hidden. It had been concealed from the eyes of many. And yet, Paul says, it was ordained by God before the ages and for our glory. It was God's plan all along that salvation would come about through Jesus Christ crucified. When the Lord Jesus, duly, at the appointed time, came into this world, there were very few people who understood what his coming was all about. There were very few who could make sense of the mystery. There weren't many who were in any way ready to see that the plan of God was that his son would come to the world and his son would be crucified. That even the very disciples of Jesus, they weren't expecting that. They weren't ready to accept that. And certainly the rulers of the day, the earthly rulers, they weren't clued in to the fact that this was the plan of God. Verse 8, it says that none of the rulers of this age knew it, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And just as in an Agatha Christie book say, she has a clear idea in her mind as to how this story is going to unfold and how it's going to end. So God always had a clear idea of what his saving plan and purpose was. It was all building up. All the things we read in the Old Testament are all building up to Jesus Christ and him crucified. But people didn't see that. It was there in the Scriptures, a bit of the message here and a bit of the message there, but the Bible detectives weren't putting it together and saying, this is what we are to expect. Paul refers in verse 9 to Isaiah 64, verse 4, and he brings in a few other thoughts of Scripture in what he says there as it's written. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's the way it was then, and that's the way it is now. Our human senses and our human insights are not able to show us the glorious inheritance that God has prepared for those who love Christ crucified. But God had everything planned. It was hidden. Eye hadn't seen it, ear hadn't heard it, hadn't entered into the heart of man, but it was there in the plan of God. Everything was prepared. Everything was ready. Everything was planned, but it remained hidden. That's the first thing. Things long hidden. Then the second thing I want to speak about today is things now revealed. And Paul goes on to say that what had been hidden for so long has now been revealed, and he tells us how that has come about. Verse 10, he says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And it is through the work of God, the Holy Spirit, that what has been hidden is brought out into the open. And the Holy Spirit is able to go where we can't go. The Holy Spirit is able to penetrate into the deep things of God in order to make those things known. Paul uses an analogy to help us understand how the Spirit can do this in verse 11. He talks about how things are with ourselves, how things work with us. And he says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" And so he's saying, look, the only person who really knows what you're thinking is you. Other people might say to you, "I know what you're thinking." They don't. And you'll know that they don't. But you know. God knows, you know, no one else really knows. Well, Paul says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows what God is thinking and what God is planning. And when God's Spirit reveals something, he's not guessing in any way at all. It's not outside information. It's inside information, and it's entirely reliable what the Spirit of God reveals. Journalists sometimes, in trying to cobble a story together where maybe there isn't really much of a story at all, they'll talk about sources close to the Prime Minister or sources close to the Health Secretary or whatever it might be. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't just a source close to God. Holy Spirit is God. He is fully God, and therefore he knows the things of God. And it is the Spirit of God that has revealed what was hidden. And Paul goes on in verses 12 and 13 to claim that the truth that he had preached and the truth that his fellow gospel preachers had put across, that message came to them through God the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 12, "We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been fully given to us by God." And the things that they'd received from God the Holy Spirit, they had passed those things on in the preaching of the gospel. And they had used the very words that the Spirit of God had given to them. Verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches." They didn't think, well, how will we put this across so that people will accept it and take it on board? It wasn't by human wisdom, words that men thought were right and convincing, but it was through words taught by the Holy Spirit. And so that message about God saving sinners by means of Christ crucified, that message which was largely hidden, it had now been revealed. It was now out in the open. And that's the message that Paul has preached, and that's the message that he was continuing to preach. And so all the Old Testament rituals, all the Old Testament sacrifices, these were all preparing the way for the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. All the blood of bulls and goats and lambs that had been shed over the centuries, that was all preparatory for the shed blood of Jesus, of Christ crucified. The real thing had come. The saving plan of God had been revealed. Jesus was what it was all about. Jesus was the explanation for all that had come before. Jesus and Him crucified is the unveiling of what was hidden for so long. And so it's not hidden anymore. It has been revealed. This is the saving plan of God. It is Christ crucified. There is no other plan. Now, if that was the case, then you would think that everybody who would hear this message, that here's the way that God saves sinners. It's through Christ crucified. Well, you would think that everybody who would hear it would believe it. When you read the story and the mystery is revealed at the end, well, that answers the questions. It makes sense of what has come before. And you're not left wondering, well, what was the answer? Here is the answer. Christ crucified. This is what it's all about. But many people heard that message and they didn't believe it. It was foolishness to them. Whereas for others, it was the power of God. Now, how could that be? How could it be that that which was hidden was now revealed, and yet people still didn't believe it or didn't take that message on board? Well, that's a question that's answered in verse 14. And in the third place, I want to speak about revealed but not received. Look at what Paul says in verse 14. This is a powerful verse. This verse explains why it is that people can hear the gospel message, which is the wisdom of God, and yet they can judge it to be of no value, to be mere foolishness. It's an important verse for helping us to understand the response that the gospel often receives. Verse 14, Paul says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What does he mean by the natural man? Well, the natural man is simply the person who doesn't have the Spirit of God. If God just leaves us to ourselves, doesn't give us His Spirit, we are the natural man or woman. Leon Morris writes that this term refers to the man whose horizon is bounded by the things of this life. The natural man sees the things of this life, doesn't see anything beyond this life. Sees the material, but not the spiritual. And this verse is teaching us and showing us that if God doesn't give us an appetite for spiritual things, we will never see any value in spiritual things. They will hold no appeal for us. Other things will seem to be far better, far more interesting, far more real, solid, and satisfying. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive them. That means that he doesn't accept them. It means that he doesn't welcome them. They're an unwelcome intrusion into his thoughts, and they're not welcome in his mind and in his heart. The natural man doesn't receive these things. They don't get a warm reception. They get the cold shoulder. They are rejected. The natural man doesn't receive the gospel as being good news, as being something that's desirable. Instead, it just seems to him as something that is foolishness. And Paul goes further in this verse. He doesn't just say that this is the way it is. He doesn't just say that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But he is saying that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says, nor can he know them. Doesn't have the ability to know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be spiritually minded in order to understand and appreciate spiritual things. And none of us are spiritually minded unless God changes us. Unless the Holy Spirit is within us, we're not spiritually minded. Without the work of God's Spirit, we cannot see the gospel as being the precious thing that it really is. But on the other hand, when the Spirit of God is at work in a person's heart, then there is spiritual discernment. And those who have the Spirit of God are able to make right judgments about all things. Paul talks about that in verse 15. Able to judge all things correctly. And in verse 16 he says that those who have the Spirit have the mind of Christ. To the Lord Jesus Christ, his death by crucifixion was a very important and a very valuable thing. For Christ, his crucifixion was the reason why he came into this world of sin. And Jesus was able to face all the ridicule and all the suffering and all the difficulties of his earthly life because he knew what it was all about. And he knew what it was going to accomplish, the saving of many sinners. And the joy of being the Savior of many enabled Christ to endure the cross. The mind of Christ in regard to Christ crucified was that this is something really essential and of the highest value. And those who have already been saved have the mind of Christ. We share in Christ's evaluation of the cross. To us, Christ crucified, that is a precious message. It is a precious truth. And maybe some of you can think back to the time, and if you're a Christian now, but you can remember the days when you know you weren't a Christian, maybe you can think back to a time when, well, you didn't see anything precious about the cross of Christ. But not anymore. Now the Lord has opened your eyes, and now you can see clearly what used to be hidden from you. The cross is not foolishness. But it is the way by which God saves fools like us. But for those who are not saved, the gospel message of Christ crucified remains a thing of no real value, no real appeal. And it will continue to be the case that they will not receive this message and this salvation. They will not welcome it because they cannot do so. They don't have it within them because God hasn't put His Spirit within them. And yet, hope remains, because what is not possible for man is possible with God. And the one who has opened the eyes of those who are already saved is also able to open the eyes of those who are not yet saved. And God is even able to open the eyes of those who don't have many days of earthly life left. Doesn't matter how long a person has refused to receive the things of the Spirit of God. If God moves in that person's heart, that can all change. So let us not give up praying for those who at present may seem to attach no value to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But let us look and keep on looking to the Lord on their behalf, because it is the Spirit that gives life. And that was Paul's hope. He proclaimed the message. He preached Christ crucified, but he knew it's the Spirit of God that gives life. And so in this passage we read about and learn about things which were long hidden but are now revealed. But the fact that something's been revealed doesn't mean that it has been received. And it's only by the Spirit of God that the things of the Spirit of God will be received, will be welcomed. Amen. We sing now to God's praise from Psalm 139. We use the tune Holy, number 15. And we sing the first five verses of the psalm, and there's also the last verse, stanza 14. And Paul writes much about the Spirit of God, and God's Spirit is here in this psalm. Stanza 4, it says, "Where can I from your Spirit be? Where from your presence can I flee? You are in heaven, if there I fly, and in the grave, if there I lie. If I the wings of morning take, the sea's far side my dwelling make, even there your hand my guide will be, your right hand will take hold of me." And the last stanza, "Search me, O God, my heart discern, test me, my anxious thoughts to learn, see if in hurtful ways I stray, lead me in the eternal way." Now, the Spirit of God is able to search our hearts. Spirit of God searches and penetrates the mind of God, and the Spirit of God is able to enter into the very depths of our being and change us. And when He does, He remains with us all our days, and He will never be absent from us. Wherever we have to go in life, God's Spirit will be there with us and within us. And so we sing His praise, 139, singing 1 to 5, and also 14, to the tune Holy, number 15. And after we sing, we remain seated to sing, and then I close in the benediction.
Lord, you have searched me and me to from afar. If I the wings of morning take, the sea's far side my dwelling make, if there your hand my guide will be, your right hand will take hold of me. Search me, O God, my heart discern. Test me, my anxious thoughts to learn. See if in hurtful ways I stray. Lead me in the eternal way.
Now I receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.